What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Horror Thoughts. I'm Scott, joined as always with my co-host Sean, where we talk all things horror movies. And today we will be giving our takes and reviews on the newest horror movie out, X, which if you've listened to past episodes, we touched on before out of curiosity, and we actually got to see it. And we'll give our thoughts. I have a feeling we'll probably have pretty similar tastes on this one, but Sean, did you enjoy the movie? Just first thoughts?
Yeah, overall, I liked it. I thought it was an interesting and unique story idea. I thought it was nicely intense when it needed to be, very gory and very good gore at that. I have a couple things, complaints that we can get into, but overall, I thought it was really solid.
Yeah, I felt the same way. There were some things that I, like pros and cons with everything, but all in all, just as a whole, as a film, I had a really good time with it, minus, I guess there's more people going back to movies now, so I had to sit through it with someone talking the entire time. I'm not kidding, every 5 seconds, he would say something, and so halfway through the movie, I was already kind of burned out, but... all in all, I had a good time with it. I guess we can just dive right into the pros and cons if that works for you.
Sure, yeah.
So one of my pros is I think it did such a good job at meshing that old, I guess, in quotes, grainy style slasher with a modern twist that I think is what I was wanting to get from kind of different lanes, but kind of the same, the new Texas Chainsaw. That's kind of what I was hoping for when that came out, and where it didn't deliver, I think that this movie delivered very strongly in giving you that gritty style where you feel like you're kind of watching something you shouldn't, but also adding a lot of the new modern effects that I really love in modern horror movies.
For sure. It's a great looking movie. I'd be really curious to like look into like the technical specifications and what exactly they used, because it does in some ways look retro. They probably shot it on film, would be my guess, but in other ways doesn't. I do see what you're saying, it being similar to Texas Chainsaw, but also having its own kind of personality as well, so it feels more like influence than just ripping it off.
Yeah, it's kind of tough because I don't want to give spoilers away because it's so new, but they did a good job with what I want out of gore in a horror movie, especially with modern times with so much CGI stuff that it doesn't resonate. This movie, the gore in it, if you're a gore fan and you haven't seen this movie yet and you like that old slasher style, I think this movie nailed it perfectly. I think it set a new benchmark for what if you're trying to go through this style of movie where you need to be with it in modern times. I think it did it perfectly.
Yeah. The gore is very visceral and very, like, it's a lot.
Yeah. They make you sit in it for quite some time where you're like, is this going to end anytime soon? And it's not. And then it just keeps going. Yeah. All in all, I think it was just such a good shot moving. That's the biggest pro, is that I think it all just came together well with the gore, with the style of it. This is, I'm not saying kids should or shouldn't watch horror movies, but if you're going to watch one, this is probably one you'd avoid watching with a younger demographic.
For a variety of reasons.
for a lot of reasons. Yeah, this isn't one you'd be like, oh, let's dip our toes in and show our kid a horror movie. This is not that. This is much better viewed with an adult audience, probably by yourself, honestly. I feel like if I was with a bunch of people watching this, most of the movie, I would just be uncomfortable. Like,
yeah, this isn't like a party horror movie. like even like seeing it in a theater with like other people there was kind of like, eh, I wish I was by myself.
Yeah, if you want people to leave your party, this would be the perfect movie. That'll clear a room out for sure.
Just 20 people in a living room watching these two old people fuck.
For a while. That's the thing that I think this movie did good as far as the modern side of it is really building the suspense and making you sit in it. Whereas old slasher movies, you know, it's coming. There's the girl, she's running. Here comes the killer, over. This one, it makes you just have to sit and just watch it the whole time. And it's really encapsulating, honestly. I think it's an hour and 45 minute runtime, and it felt really quick to me when I watched it.
Yeah, no, it flies by really fast. Like you said, the suspense of it is really great and really effective. The scene that I just referenced, and it's in the trailer, so I'm not spoiling anything, but when the two old people are getting it on, and the main girl, played by Mia Goth, is... What a great stage name, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming it's a stage name, but it's a great stage name. But she's under the bed as they're doing it, and she has to kind of like sneak out. I thought that was a really, really excellent scene.
Yeah. I guess touching on actors and actresses, what did you think of the characters and just the performance that all these people brought to it?
So I actually wanted to ask you about the performances because I wanted to know what you thought of the accents.
Little over the top.
Yeah.
Little over the top, especially it starts out in Houston where I'm from, and the way they're talking, it's like, yeah, we have an accent, like you can pick it up, but we're not all just walking around talking like this all the time. Like that's not laid it on pretty thick, but I guess that's a little over the top movie. But
I thought the performances were really good across the board. That was my one like note on the acting, was that the accents were a little big and a little silly. But overall, I thought everyone was pretty strong.
Just a side note, because you're talking about Mia Goth as a stage name. Do you want to hear her real name?
Sure.
Mia Gypsy Mayo da Silva Goth.
Wow.
That's a long ass name.
She really doesn't have many career paths with that name. Like you're going to be an actor or you're going to be a rock star.
Yeah. You'd have to shorten that to Mia Goth. Cause you imagine signing that on documents all the time, 6 different names.
At least she was smart to like leave the gypsy out of it. I feel like someone else would have like really gone all in on the gypsy part of the name.
Totally off topic, but I didn't realize how many horror movies she's in.
Oh really?
No, I've never. This was the first thing I can say I've.
Yeah, noticeably I've never seen her in anything.
Yeah, she's in A Cure for Wellness, Suspiria. Hmm.
Oh, I didn't see that.
X and Survivalist, which I did not like at all. So it's no wonder I didn't remember her in that. But I thought the characters were good. I thought they had really good dynamic. They all kind of played their role, and they didn't dumb the characters down to where they end up in scenarios where like what are you doing. Like it seemed like they all were pretty logical, and all the things that happened kind of made sense with each other, whereas it's not something that you see in the slasher movie where like, why would they run there? That makes zero sense. All the things that led them to their situations to me seemed to kind of be realistic and make sense as to how you'd end up in those situations.
See, to me that was actually one of my issues. It wasn't a big problem, but I feel like with the last three characters to die, I feel like they did something where I was like, where I didn't quite buy it, but it wasn't a huge problem. But that was something I thought for each of those last three, whereas I felt they did something kind of like weird. It's hard to say if we don't want to do spoilers.
Do you want to, we can do spoilers if you want. Okay. Then, all right, everyone listening, if you haven't seen it yet, 3, 2, 1. All right, let's spoil the shit out of this movie.
So the first one was the black guy, whose name I don't remember. He went off with the old man to look for the old man's wife in the swamp. And he finds an old abandoned car. It's not an old car, like it's just a car that's clearly been pushed into this river. And to me, that's like an instant red flag. Like to me, I was like, oh, this is the moment where he realizes shit ain't right and he's got to do something. And he just walks over to the old man and starts having like a casual conversation and gets himself shot.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a little like, okay, why didn't the car like alarm you in any way? And then Brittany Snow's death. Again, another following a really intense scene where the old woman gets into bed with Mia Goth and just starts like caressing her. And naturally, Mia Goth freaks out. Brittany Snow wakes up to help her and then runs outside to find everybody else, sees the old lady and starts trying to like comfort the old lady.
Yeah.
And it's like, she was just in bed with your friend. Like,
yeah.
Why are you not alarmed at all?
I was having a tough time where I was trying to think if I was in her shoes. Obviously, watching it, I know the old lady's fucking a bad person.
Yeah.
So in my head, I'm like, if I saw her in the dock, I would just run in and shoulder check her right in the back into the lake. But I was trying to think, I'm like, logically, if I was in this scenario, would I try to help her? Maybe she's crazy and delusional. I don't know. But as soon as she started being rude, I wouldn't have stood there mouthing off with this lady. I'd have been like, all right, you old bitch, I'm just going to leave now. I'm not going to stand here in front of you and let you push me into the. So that part where she would kept trying to like justify what she was saying to the lady, I'm like, I would just leave. Be like,
you're. Yeah. Like justifying like her choices in her life. It's like, who cares what this old lady thinks of you?
Yeah.
Jenna Ortega's, I thought, was weird as well, where she's at least like panicked. When she runs out of that, she's the girl that gets locked in the cellar.
Okay. That one pissed me off. I thought that was so stupid. All right. Now I said I thought they all made sense. Now that I'm running it back, that one was really dumb.
Yeah, where she like runs out and is like just panicking and freaking out and like, I hate you, I hate you. And like, that was the part where I was like, what?
Yeah, it was
they
like
they didn't lock you in a basement, my guy.
Yeah, like, they did nothing. Like, you signed up to come here. Like, I don't understand.
So weird. That was such a weird thing. And it's clearly just she needs to die, and so she needs to be an idiot in that scenario. Yeah. So she runs out and gets herself shot.
I mean, maybe in real life you'd panic like that, but yeah. It made no sense. Like, to me, where she's like, I hate you. I'm like,
where? And that's why that's why she's playing it so big, is because it's supposed to be like she's just panicked out of her mind.
But the panic makes sense, but where her energy was going made no sense to me. She's like, I hate you.
It's weird that she would blame Mia Goth.
I would get if she just got out and was like, we got to get the fuck out of here, and just took off. Like, I would get that.
Yeah, just like instant.
But the like, I hate you, it's your, like, you have like, is this like some parent issues that you had in your past coming out right now? Like, what is this? Like, you're telling me you hate me and you want to leave? I didn't lock you in a cellar.
It was weird. That kind of took me off.
Yeah, now that you've been, the last three were kind of.
And not awful, like I've seen worse in these kinds of movies, but they were just things where I thought the script was way tighter than that leading up to that. And I feel like the third act of the movie kind of falls apart a little and isn't quite as strong. And that's why I'm not saying that this is a great movie. It's because for me, the entire ending was kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah, it's. I don't know if I'd say it's great. I think it's one of the better slasher style horrors we've had in quite some time. If I had to think about any off the top of my head that have came out in the last 10 years, I think it's probably better than a lot of them, but it definitely has its shortcomings for sure. What's some more of your cons that you had?
Well, the other big one was the ending. Mostly in that I was kind of confused, and maybe you understood something that I didn't, but the impression I got was that the old lady wanted to do a body swap. Like, this was going to be some sort of satanic ritual plot. She wanted to somehow do something with the main girl, with Mia Goth, because they keep saying like, we need her, don't kill her, but it's okay to kill Brittany Snow and the guys. And that's why the grandfather, the old man, locks Jenna Ortega in the basement, is that they need someone. But then we just never go there. They never elaborate. Like, they never actually tell you what they're doing or what exactly they want. Because Mia Goth, the old man has a heart attack, and then the old lady kind of fucks herself.
Yeah. Did that make you laugh in the theater? Because that made me laugh. When at the very end, when she just blew herself halfway across the yard, that was so funny to me.
I mean, and there's a realism to that these old ass people, when they don't have the element of surprise, can't do anything. That they're up against this like 20-year-old like fit girl.
Yeah,
that they're kind of useless when they're not when they don't have the element of surprise on their side. So it's just, as a movie and as a story, it just felt kind of like, oh, we're at, you know, an hour 45, it's time to end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, the whole thing just felt weird and anticlimactic, and I was never sure what exactly was going on.
I could see that. It had a good buildup. The first act I thought was great leading into the second act. Third act was kind of rushed, like as far as they built up so much leading into this, mm-hmm. and then the first death happens, and then it just kind of, each death comes quicker and quicker.
Like it's very fast. Like they dispatched them quick.
Yeah.
And then, but which even that would have been fine. Because I didn't have a problem with it. Then it was just when it came time to confront Mia Goth and it was her needing to survive. That's what felt too quick. Like that could have used another 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I liked it first watch, but when I sit back and think about it, like analytically, I guess, or think about the movie as a whole, there's definitely some points where it misses for sure. Like it is kind of vague with what they're trying to keep her alive for. I kind of liked that at the time when I was watching it, because I thought it was more of just a thing, like she just wants something to feel young and pretty. I didn't know if she, mm-hmm. Again, the whole time I was wondering, like, is she trying to like become this, thinking that maybe
mm-hmm.
I was thinking maybe like if I, one of those things, like if I kill her and I, whatever, I can become her. And you never really get to that, which I guess that's an interesting point. I didn't put too much thought into it actually, but yeah, it is kind of odd that they really like they even kept mentioning it a lot where she's like, she's different than the others. Like,
mm-hmm.
What do you mean? So I didn't think about that. Trying to think of other things that really stood out to me in the movie. The first fucking kill stood out to me horrifically because it never ended and just kept getting worse and worse. And the effects were, I thought the effects were awesome when I saw it.
No, it looked great.
It's just so brutal. And I thought they did good. We were talking about them being older and obviously the abilities or lack thereof of an older person.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever she stabs the guy with the pitchfork and then she comes over and is like, just kind of poking him and then just slowly old lady covers him up with hay. I'm like, you have a dead, decapitated body you bludgeon to death in your front yard. I don't think you need to hide this body.
To hide that guy.
No, they just left it there. But then this one, she's like, I'm gonna cover it up. I don't want anyone to with the thinnest layer of hay, as if someone walking by would be like, oh, there's not a dead body underneath there.
Well, I thought they were like, oh, get her inside the house, it'll be self-defense. Like, what about the guy in front of the van?
Yeah, there's a lot of things. I thought the same thing, like, get her in the house, it's self-defense. Like, you have a lot more to explain than just that.
There's a dude tied up in the basement.
There's 100% a dude tied up in your basement. That is a pretty rough one. There's an abandoned car.
That's his car.
Yeah, I would imagine. There's there's insane amounts of evidence that prove there are multiple people staying here for a prolonged period. And they're like, they'll think it's self-defense. It'll be fine. What did you think of the subplot or the back plot of the whole shooting the sex tape? And then you have the character with the boyfriend where they have that whole crisis where she's like, I want to be in the movie. And he's like, fuck no. And he kind of has that freak out scene. What did you think of all that kind of like going in the background of this movie?
I think that was a really interesting sort of premise for a horror movie, is our group of characters are shooting a porno. Like, I don't know. That's just such a like, huh?
Yeah.
I would never have thought of that. But I like a lot of what they do with it. Obviously the 70s is a great time to do that. I don't think that same premise would work in 2022.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, maybe just because of the online culture of it, but like, I'd buy a group of people being like, let's make a sort of artistic porno, or like one person wants it to be more artistic and one dude is clearly just like, no, we're just show some tits and ass to make some money, because you could make real fucking money in porn, particularly back then.
Yeah.
And I like sort of the conversations, just because weirdly the history of porn as a thing is just interesting, like going from this hidden theatrical thing in grindhouses to VHS's sort of exploding porn.
Yeah.
So all that's really interesting. I thought it's also just charming and fun to see a group of people making a low budget movie, even if it is a porno.
Yeah.
Like, as someone that has made like short films and like with like college friends, like that's, there's something about that that's like instantly kind of fun. And I thought a lot of the conversations around it were really interesting. And obviously that's kind of what the story is about, is this generational divide between these old people and these young people. And I thought that when they sort of talk about it as a group, and Brittany Snow has her big sort of monologue about why she's comfortable doing it, and they kind of convince Jenna Ortega to do it, I thought all that was really interesting about, you know, we're only young once, we might as well have fun, like who cares? And then your villains are people who didn't do that stuff when they were young and now they can't. And that's a huge part of why they're so resentful and nuts. So I thought it was all super, a really interesting way to go.
Yeah, I really liked the motives for the couple of, we're aged, we can't be like these young people, we don't have the ability to do it, it's caused so much strain in our relationship because we can't show affection now, we have regrets of the past, and the only way they satisfy those urges, cravings, anything, is just erasing these thoughts, or these, the way I saw it is like, these are like their past thoughts and insecurities in a way, and they just get to waste them, all the things they never got to do, they just destroy them together, and they're like, that's and that's
it's repression, it's these repressed things coming out to the surface, especially when the people they're going after are flaunting it. Like that black dude is just walking around naked pretty much all the time. Like, they're not being discreet about what they're doing. They film for assumedly hours in the barn with no thoughts to whether or not they're being watched.
Oh, I just had a question.
Hmm.
I don't remember what it was. Oh, did you feel any sort of sympathy, I guess, or did you have any sort of emotional pull towards the couple at any point, the older couple, where you're like, I kind of feel for them a little bit? Because when they started playing Landslide and it kind of like meshed the young with the old, and the lady was like taking the makeup off because he didn't want to dance with her.
Yeah.
Like at that point, I was like, oh, that kind of broke my heart a little bit. That was kind of sad.
No, it is sad. And it's an easy thing to relate to because like, we're all going to get there.
Yeah.
Like that's going to happen at some point. Like, yeah, I'm closer to our main characters now, but eventually that's going to just be a reality, and there is something sad and scary about that.
Yeah, so someday the beautiful wife, handsome husband, whatever, strong, fit, any, whatever you married when y'all were kids, someday y'all aren't going to be those kids anymore. Like that time is, it's a finite time,
and the things that you physically could do, you can't anymore.
Yeah, it, when they did the first, when I heard them start playing Landslide, I was like, oh my god, here we fucking go. Like, I was already annoyed. I was like, this
breaks out a guitar and it's like, oh come on.
I was like, this is gonna be stupid. And then when Brittany Snow started singing, I'm like, I'm kind of feeling it. Then halfway through, I was like, damn, I'm kind of sad right now.
It's a great scene. And you're gonna get Brittany Snow, you got it, let her sing.
Oh god, I was so happy when I saw she was in this movie. I was like, no way. I think she's phenomenal.
Yeah, and, no, she's a lot of fun.
And that scene, I think it did something where you have this kind of fun, loving beginning to the movie, first act, where it's all upbeat and you have all these scenes going on and you have the little creepiness, but whatever, it's all good times. Then the song happens and then it's in like an immediate, now it's declining the rest of the movie. You have like this whole peak, that song, and then it just progressive drop off. I thought that was a really cool way they kind of threw it in to mellow out the vibe and then just crash it for the next hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this one you'd see again?
Oh, for sure. Like I'll probably buy this on Blu-ray when it comes out. Like I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
I'd be curious to see if when they do like a Blu-ray, if they have any behind the scenes, uncut scene or extra scenes, anything like that. I want to know what else they actually have in store for this movie. Considering I went into it so blind, I had no idea what any of it was. I'd be curious to see more of the back of this movie because it didn't seem like there was very much promotion for it either. It kind of just popped up.
Yeah. I mean, it's through A24, which is a bit of a smaller thing. But obviously very popular, and there's a lot of prestige that comes with that, but they don't have the same sort of resources that, say, a Universal or a Blumhouse can put into marketing a movie.
Yeah. A24 is usually either really hit or really miss for me. So this was kind of one where they weren't leaning too heavy. I think a lot of their movies lean too heavy on being that, what do they call it? Like intellectual horror?
I don't know what the actual term is at this point, but sort of me, I just sort of go, it's like artsy.
Artsy, yeah.
It's your Midsummers and that kind of thing.
Yeah, like
I loved Midsummer, but...
I loved that movie. But the last A24 movie I saw was Lamb. And so going from that, where you're like, what is this pile of shit? Like, I was so pissed when I saw it. To this, it's like the... This was one where they didn't take it too far with the artsiness. They had enough of it to make it interesting, but they didn't go so far with it where you're like, dude, I can't buy it.
It's got a style and it's got a voice and it is artful in that way, but it's never pretentious about it. It's never up its own butt, which is, I'm not saying that about Lamb. I haven't seen Lamb, but just, I get what you're talking about when you sometimes see that with movies where it is more about, look how smart I am.
Yeah.
I am a little surprised that this is an A24 movie because it is ostensibly a slasher film about a group of kids making a porno.
Yeah.
And with a different studio, it probably would have been a little more gratuitous in its nudity. Obviously, there's nudity in this, but it's not as overt as it might have been somewhere else. Whereas I feel like a lot of the more... the R-rated nature of it goes more towards the gore. And I feel like somewhere else it might've gotten maybe switched a little.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, I get it. I think A24 is probably the perfect spot for this movie. Cause if you look at both ends of the spectrum, you could have a bigger production where it might lack on some of the grittier things or these different styles or putting more nudity or this, that, or the other. Mm-hmm. And then you could have the Netflix side where it could have been a Netflix movie and just completely whitewash blanket slasher movie, same trope we've seen for the last 5 years in every Netflix horror movie that comes out, and there's nothing really new or special. I think you'd get like a Texas Chainsaw, like it'd be kind of that kind of. So I think A24 was like the perfect match of that artsy side and being a bigger production but not being a Netflix production. It's kind of like a sweet spot, I think. So as far as horror news, you got anything that's came up recently?
The only thing I've seen is that there's been some small movement on Scream 6. I think there's talk that it might shoot this summer, but the only official thing is that it's got a release date of March 31st, 2023.
I'm assuming you still haven't seen Scream 5 yet.
Nope. It's on Paramount Plus. I guess that's news. Scream 5 is on a streaming service. It's on Paramount Plus.
Do you think it's ever going to cross your radar?
I don't know. Honestly, the only scenario it would have is if people had come out and been like, holy crap, this is amazing. Or like if people had said things so crazy that it would have been like, what? Like in like the bad way.
Yeah.
But so much of the response, I never heard really anything more than like, it's fine.
It's a Scream movie.
Yeah, like, it's fine. So it's like, I'm not going out of my way to watch a thing that just as a fan is just okay. And I'll probably hate because there's not enough Nev Campbell and I don't care about new characters.
I'm curious where they'll go with the, With the sixth one, that's...
Well, see, the problem that they're in is that Neve Campbell won't say yes until she reads a script. And the problem that creates is that what if you write a script that's all about Sydney and then she says no?
Yeah.
And then you're fucked because you're going to have to start from scratch.
Oh, that's true.
So that's why you kind of, in Scream 5, from what I understand about it, she really doesn't do much or affect much at all. She's there to be, look, it's Sydney.
Pretty
she
much,
has to be here.
Yeah.
But that's because they can't write Scream 5 about her in case she says no.
Yeah.
And then they have to start completely from scratch.
Dang, they might just make a middle-of-the-road blanket movie just to cover their own ass just in case either way.
Yeah.
Damn, I hope not. Probably
so that they can easily write her out, too, if she says no. So, like, haven't seen it, but from what I understand, you can write Sid out of Scream 5 easily.
She didn't need to be there.
Yeah, you just cut her out.
That was done. A Dewey movie. Like, if Dewey wasn't there, yeah, he'd be kind of... But Dewey was, like, the lead, as far as the original cast, he was, like, the main guy.
And he's the easiest one to get.
Yeah, what's he doing?
Maybe like Courtney Cox isn't doing much, but there's some prestige to Courtney Cox's name.
Yeah. With Arquette, they're like, what are you going to do, Eight-Legged Freaks too? Like, what are you doing?
Just going to do another wrestling thing?
I forgot that he did that. Yeah.
It might have been an MMA.
No, it was pro wrestling.
Was it wrestling? Okay.
Oh, yeah. He made a whole thing about it. But, yeah, that's all I've got. So, next week, or next episode, rather, we will be touching on the Foo Fighters horror film, Studio 666. You can check out Sean. It'll all be linked down below on Instagram. You can check my stuff out. It'll all be linked down below in the description, Instagram, YouTube, all that stuff. So let us know your thoughts. We will see you next episode.